waited too long to make his claim. But what's done is done. The House of Lords ruling only applies to future royalties. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Boley is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Boley.
Hey, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Today we're going to be talking about something that is probably of great interest to many of the people in our listening audience. And I say that because I realize I say that a lot with a lot of the guests that I have on, but I say that specifically today because we're going to be talking about parenting. And not only will this broadcast be interesting then for parents in our listening audience, but also for grandparents as well, or maybe young married couples who may be looking to have children and want to know some of the best ways to approach this very important subject of child raising, you know, raising children in a godly manner. How do you go about this? Well, let me just tell you, I was trying to actually find some statistics on this, but if you go into any bookstore and even any Christian bookstore, you will see that the market is absolutely flooded with books dealing with parenting. There's just thousands of them to choose from, and it's very difficult to figure out which one of these books would really be of any help. Well, the book that I have today, I think, really is worthy of that category. It's worthy of a book that would be very much helpful in helping you to understand how to do this in a biblical manner. Now, I say that because the book that came out just before this was so well received from the Christian community. I'm referring to Shepherding a Child's Heart. It has become almost a byword in the Christian community. It's become just the standard, really, of Christian parenting books. And now, 14 years later, the authors, Ted and Margie Tripp, have written another book again, the sequel to the first one, Shepherding a Child's Heart. Now they have written Instructing a Child's Heart. Listen to some of the endorsements on the back of the book. These are not lightweight endorsements. Here's one from John MacArthur, pastor teacher of Grace Community Church. He says this: biblical, practical, pastoral. This insightful book on godly child rearing is everything we would expect from the author who brought us Shepherding a Child's Heart. This tremendous value comes from the fact that it centers on the essential but oft-neglected heart of biblical parenting, the gospel of grace, and I'm glad to recommend it. Let me give you another one here from Elise Fitzpatrick. Elise was on with me not that long ago, just a few weeks ago on the radio broadcast. She says this: the Tripps have once again written a book that will shape our children's parenting style and will have a direct impact on our grandchildren. Instructing a Child's Heart will help them avoid all the behavioristic manipulation and threatenings that sadly marked our parenting and is seen so frequently in our churches. I heartily recommend it. So here's just a couple of great endorsements on the back of the broadcast. Now, let me tell you what we're going to do today. First and foremost, let me tell you, you can participate in the broadcast. You can send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org. You can give us a call at a 1-800 number. In fact, it's a 1-888 number. That's 1-888-660-WLFJ, 1-888-660-9535. That 888 means it's toll-free, so you're welcome to call and participate that way. I also have Twitter up and running, so if you're listening and you've got Twitter going as well, twitter.com/knowingthetruth, you can participate. I got some good news for you. I have books to give away during the broadcast today, and I have a great discount that Shepherd Press has put forth for the book and the DVD, and the audio book that goes along with this. And so I'll be telling you about that at the first break. With that, let me go ahead and welcome in our special guest today, both Ted and his wife, Margie Tripp. And folks, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today.
Hello.
Hi, Kevin. We're happy to be with you.
Well, great. It's a pleasure having you on the broadcast. You know, I've enjoyed Shepherding a Child's Heart, and I know I've spoken to so many Christians over the years who have enjoyed that book as well. I've got to ask you a couple of very much introductory statements about this book. One that just begs the question, I think, is what's the difference between shepherding a child's heart and instructing a child's heart? What would a reader find distinct or different in both of those two volumes?
Well, I think the Shepherding a Child's Heart, of course, is the foundational piece, and it talks about the importance of the heart, and that certainly is our focus in instructing a child's heart. But what we've observed in just scores of conversations with hundreds of couples in the last 10 or 15 years is that parents are not doing enough of what we call in this book formative instruction. They're not doing enough basic, solid teaching that gives the children a foundation that makes sense of parental expectations.
Mm.
So that's really what we're trying to fill in.
What we observed is that many parents were using the times of correction and discipline as a time to teach their children. And we would say that's probably not the best time to teach. It has its place. It's not the best time to get your point across.
I guess one of the lessons that would be taught there during that time of correction would be the correct way to administer correction.
That's right. Sure.
Would probably be one lesson, but not the time to bring up a whole bunch of other subjects.
Yeah, I think the big thing, I guess the big point, the point Margie's making is that, you know, when children are being corrected, they're defensive, their heels are dug in. Often as parents, we're feeling a little impatient with them. We've told them this 100 times. Those are not our finest teaching moments.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be providing a worldview of ways of understanding life and the world and truth and revelation that makes sense of all the things we expect of our kids in the course of parenting. So, you know, rather than just teaching children to obey, we really need to give them a foundation for understanding the authority structures God has established in the world that makes sense of the requirement that they obey.
Mm-hmm. I recently had Ken Ham on the radio broadcast. Mm-hmm. He had teamed up with Britt Beamer, I think, or Bremer is the research professional that he's teamed up with to write a book called Already Gone. And in that book, it basically deals with that our young people in our churches are already gone before they ever go to college. They've already tuned out. And one of the reasons is that he posits in the book is that we have not apologetically taught the gospel to our young people. We haven't really showed them why we believe what we believe. I see your book in the same kind of genre, only not so much in the church, but in the home, that we, if I understand you correctly, especially with the idea of formative teaching, we have to, in the home, really explain what we are doing and really emphasize the truth behind what we believe.
Absolutely.
And we say we believe in the home. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We can't really expect our children to buy into and take on for themselves a robust Christian theology and apologetic unless we give that to them from the time they're very young. If it's just this is our expectation of you and you had better do it, it will not become theirs. In fact, that approach generally leads to rejection.
Mm. I have a friend who he works in a what I guess we could refer to as a secular setting, whatever. He has a regular job. He's actually a mechanic, a diesel mechanic. But he asks a lot of the truckers and those that come in on a regular basis, you know, why they believe certain things. He may see a bumper sticker or some sort of indication that the person makes a profession of faith. And so he'll ask them on certain doctrinal questions, you know, just why they believe that certain doctrine. And he's been surprised over the years at the number of people who say, I believe that just because that's what I've always been taught.
Uh-huh. Right.
Or that's what, you know, my pastor has always said. And it began to betray to us a level of teaching where we haven't gone beyond it. This is just traditional, the way we've always done it, but we haven't given people any more reason to believe than that. That's a problem, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is. And the same thing happens with the whole set of values that we need to enculturate our children in. Teaching them what is important, what makes you somebody, what is worth living for, what does it mean to live your life loving God and loving others. All those sorts of things we've got to fill in very, very thoroughly in terms of the formative instruction.
Well, we'll do that as soon as we come back from the break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Hi, this is Rick McConnell with the Disciple Tip. You already know that going to church just makes your life better. But according to scientists, going to church can also make you live longer. According to a long-term U.S. government-funded study of the health of 92,000 people, those who went to church at least once a week, on average, lived longer than those who did not attend. And those who went to church twice a week cut their chances of dying early in life by 20%. You may have to look around a bit, but find a good church near you. Live better. Live longer. You're locked into Christian Talk 660.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie D's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie D's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie D's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie D's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Dale Taggett, creator of the Truth Project, is coming to the Upstate on August 27th for a one-night event. Hi, this is Tony Beam for the Palmetto Family Council, reminding you that seating is limited and you don't want to miss this challenge to live biblically in today's culture. The August 27th event will encourage you and equip you to engage your culture. Remember, Dale Taggett of the Truth Project will be live in the Upstate on August 27th. For ticket information, go to www.truthproject-sc.com.
More and more, people are deciding to secure their family's safety by applying for a South Carolina concealed weapons permit. Dry Fire's class includes the NRA basic pistol course and state training requirements for a concealed carry permit. The class includes instruction from NRA certified instructors, info on South Carolina gun laws, the written exam, and qualifying with a firearm on the outdoor range. Register for South Carolina's concealed weapons permit class by calling 608-1522 or log on to dry-fire.com.
Calling for truth, teaching God's people to think and to think biblically. Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. It's good to have you on board here with us today. We're talking about parenting, and we're doing it in the confines of a book that has come out called Instructing a Child's Heart. You know the authors very well if you've been following their ministry over the past, I think this has been 13 or 14 years before the first book came out, the book dealing with shepherding a child's heart. We're talking with Ted and Margie Tripp about this book now that has come out as a, kind of a sequel to that first one. Ted and Margie, just before the break, we started to talk about a phrase that you use here in the book that may not be familiar with many people in our listening audience. But you use it, in fact, you use it in defining all three parts of the book. And the phrase that I'm referring to is the phrase formative instruction. In the first part of the book, in part one, you do a call for formative instruction. Part two of the book is then an introduction to formative instruction. And then part three is an application of formative instruction. Let's start, if we could, by just looking at what do we mean by this phrase, formative instruction.
This is a great question, Kevin. I wish I could have found a nicer phrase. That was the best one we could come up with. What we mean by that is instruction that forms or shapes our children, that is intentionally designed to shape their thinking. So you could think of by analogy of a woodworker with a block of wood on a lathe, and he uses his carving tools to give shape to that block of wood. And it's instruction that shapes and forms the thinking of our children about a whole range of things. But it's that process of really giving them a biblical worldview, a biblical culture in which to live. Because culture assigns values. Culture tells you what's important, what's worth living for, what really matters, what makes you somebody. And we need to be giving our children distinctly Christian ways of looking at that, because that's not what they're getting in the majority culture, and it's not what they're getting, you know, on their iPod or, on Facebook or all the other places where they're being bombarded by various media.
A huge problem that we have is that at one time the majority culture was at least somewhat in agreement with the Christian worldview, and there wasn't such a diversity between the world culture and Christian culture. Of course, we've seen that change rapidly over the last 30 or 40 years. A huge area where we see this is that our culture lives out of emotion. And so our children have been taught, it's in the air they breathe, to just respond to life out of the way they feel at the moment. And, of course, as Christians, we have a whole litany of character qualities that will dictate the way we respond to the circumstances and people in our lives. We've got to get there often and well with a Christian message, or our children will be shaped by the culture.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree, and there's been a number of terms used for that. Excuse me, used for that that you're describing there. I think when I had Dr. Moeller on the program, he talked about it being a culture shift that has taken place. We do some children's ministry work in a local public school system here, and I find that many of the children that are in the classes have very little biblical background at all, whereas years ago we could have taken stories such as the story with Daniel in the lion's den or David and Goliath for granted. We can no longer take those things for granted at all. So is this one of the elements that you would say sets your book apart from many of the other parenting books that are out there, the idea that you are, let me put this formative phrase in a way that Tim Challies has put it when he did a review of your book. He said that, very simply, he said it's teaching that forms our children.
Right.
I think that's a great little statement.
Good way to put it. Yeah.
And
yeah, that's well put.
He expands on that a little bit. He said this teaching that enables them to root life in God's revelation of the Bible and provides a culture for our children, a culture that is distinctly Christian and shows our children the glory and dignity of mankind as God's image bearers. And so I think he's actually quoting from you there in that section. But that's a good working definition of what we're talking about with this formative instruction.
That's exactly right.
In the section called to formative instruction, we're really trying there to call parents back to the task that has largely been given to youth leaders in the church or to the culture, to the majority culture.
I found youth work to be extremely frustrating because there's this expectation that, you know, we can drop Johnny off there at the church for 45 minutes and you can turn him into Joe Christian. And very quickly I began to realize that this is a recipe for disaster. And I started to focus more on helping parents to train their own children.
Absolutely.
Because you got them all week long.
That's exactly right.
I got them for 45 minutes. You know, really, if we could equip and train the parents to do the job, I think we stand a much better chance of success in this endeavor. So I'm so glad for works and projects like you guys have put together here in this book. You started to talk about the first segment there, Margie. Tell our listeners what they would find there. I'll just read the subtitles, but it says Life is a Classroom, and then these five goals for formative instruction. Let's talk about those for a couple minutes.
Okay. Generally, in the life as a classroom section, we're just recognizing here that there are both formal and informal times that we do this formative instruction. We are, in the Church of Christ, very familiar with the formal times. We want to, and we encourage families to have family devotions and formal times when they give training to their children. And sadly, we even have to call back, folks back in this time in our culture, very busy time for families, to taking that calling seriously. But what we're also recognizing is that in the kitchens and bathrooms and hallways and bedrooms of our lives, we are instructing our children when we are not self-conscious of it. The way we interact with, the way we respond to the circumstances of our lives and the relationships in our lives very powerfully impacts our children and influences them and trains them how to think about where God fits in the circumstances of our lives and in the relationships of our lives. A very simple illustration is, and I use this often, is how do I respond when I can't find the keys and I'm late for the doctor's appointment? How I respond to that circumstance is very quickly either gives fuel to all of my words during family devotions that God can be trusted in any circumstance, or it defies that teaching and says, no, when we can't find the keys, we become frantic and angry and upset and frustrated with everyone around us. So the call to formative instruction is realizing that all of life is an opportunity to instruct.
Oh, well put. I mentioned to my congregation very often that this is the gospel. And I have become more and more convinced that the home is the place where the gospel is to shine the brightest. Unfortunately, I think in our cultural Christianity, the home is the last place where the gospel is evidenced and shining. But those little incidences, the can't finding the keys and a million others that happen on a weekly basis, this is how we demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ and demonstrate it to the first people in the ministry that God has given to us, which is within our homes.
Amen.
You're absolutely right.
Well, that's great. And if we will do that, this is for our listeners, obviously, but if we will do that, not only will it help in our homes, but our homes are then the building block of our congregations.
That's right.
And then our congregations are the building blocks of our nation.
Right.
And so this will have a huge ripple effect throughout our culture, but it must start in the home. We can't, act super spiritual in the church and then go home and be some sort of little dictator, around the house, or everybody waiting for, the next explosion to happen or the volcano to go off. We have to bring the gospel into each one of those situations. I think that's what you're trying to get at that life in the classroom as well.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's well put.
Well, let's go ahead and take our second break. And when we come back from there, I want to go into the second part of the book then. I want to talk about this introduction into this formative instruction, and specifically something that is unique to your book that I keep reminding myself and I need to be reminded of. So I'm so thankful for your book. Is that parents must look beyond behavior, and we must look primarily to the heart. That's what we're going to talk about when we come back. We're not in the business of creating little legalists or little Pharisees. We want to create, or we want to foster real godly living in the home, in the life of our children. That's what we'll talk about when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Since 1993, Auger Family Chiropractic has helped thousands of people just like you. Dr. Auger's office has helped them to discover a better way to experience health and healing. For over a century, chiropractic doctors have known that by God's design, the body possesses the ability to heal itself naturally. To learn how chiropractic adjustments enable the body to perform to its optimum and heal itself without the use of drugs or surgery, listen to Your Half Hour to Health with Dr. George Auger, Wednesday afternoons at 12:30 on Christian Talk 660.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy D's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy D's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy D's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy D's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
With tail-thrashing dinosaurs, five state-of-the-art theaters, plus an incredible 160 exhibits, the Creation Museum presents a journey through history that will capture your imagination and appeal to your senses. Walk through the lush Garden of Eden and see exotic animals. Voyage with Noah on the Ark, or buckle into your planetarium seat and prepare for liftoff. Seats rumble and a cool mist rises in our special effects theater, and animatronic people converse with our guests. Come face to face with a monstrous moving sauropod and have your children settle up on our triceratops. Browse through our Dragon Hall bookstore to find the latest in DVDs, reference books, and curricula. And our beautiful outdoor gardens lend a finishing touch to your museum experience. Located minutes from the Cincinnati airport, the Creation Museum provides 60,000 square feet of family fun. Prepare to believe.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I want to give you some information here about the book that we're talking about today. The book is Instructing a Child's Heart, written by Ted and Margie Tripp. Both of them are with me right now live for the interview today. And this book is put out by Shepherd Press. Now, Shepherd Press is offering a great discount for you. Listen, you can't go wrong for yourself. If you have children in the home, believe me, you can't go wrong with this book. I highly recommend it. But they're offering a special. I think this is going to be for the next 48 hours. That's how we did the last one through them. But they're offering 50% off on all of the Instructing a Child's Heart products that they carry. Now, they carry three of them. One is just the book itself. So you can get the book out there at Shepherd Press for 50% off right now. And they also carry an audio book and a DVD series. So if you've got a home Bible study, maybe with some young married couples, if you've got a group in your church that is meeting together and you would like a good DVD series to teach them how to reach their children's heart, how to instruct their child's heart with the gospel, well, here's a wonderful opportunity for you, and you get it at a 50% discount. Now, you can get one of each one of those things, but it's limited to one set of products there, or individual products per person that goes out there to the website. So 50% off, and we thank the folks there from Shepherd Press with working that out with me as we built up to this interview. Now, the way that you do that, when you go out on the website, just put in the initials for the radio broadcast. It's KTT for Knowing the Truth, KTT02. This is the second one that we worked out through them. The first one, I think, was with Anthony Saveggio on his book, The Proverbs-Driven Life. But this one is KTT02. You just put that in out there, and you'll be eligible then for the 50% discount on any of the Instructing a Child's Heart products that are out there, including the book, audiobook, or DVD series. Let me give you that website. It's www.shepherdpress.com. That's www.shepherdpress.com, and you can get all the information about the products out there. Also, I want to let you know that you can participate in the program today, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. If you participate with a question or a comment, I'll go ahead and send you one of the books absolutely free. So don't miss out on that opportunity. Don't wait till the very last minutes of the broadcast, and then I don't have time to get either the information or to get the book out to you. So your question or comment about child raising, here's your opportunity to do that. Back to our discussion now. Folks, I wanted to talk about the second part of your book that talks about an introduction to formative instruction. And specifically in chapter 5, it says getting to the heart of behavior. And I think that this is so important because I think not only in our own life, but in the life of or in the our efforts to try to raise our children, it would be very simple for us to slip into just a legalistic, pharisaical, letter of the law approach and to really miss out on addressing the heart. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I think the heart is, as the scripture says, the wellspring of life, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And so what that passage is telling us, and so many other passages in the scripture as well, is that everything that comes out of behavior is a reflection of, it's a mirror of the heart. It's Luke 6 says it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so we've got to, we really have to work with our children and get beyond just simply controlling and constraining behavior. So many parents have that as the objective. If I can just control them. And we've got to be really instructing their hearts. We want to be, because the heart is the wellspring.
Mm-hmm. So controlling's not the ultimate objective here. This isn't the goal, you know, just to have quiet, well-organized homes where everybody is almost robotic. That's not really going to serve our ultimate end.
That's right, because the ultimate end is to help our children understand how profoundly they need God, how profoundly they need God's grace. And talking about the heart really opens that up, because if you get beyond just simply controlling kids, but you're really interacting with the motivational things that go on inside, the things that push and pull behavior, then it helps them to see how profoundly they need God, and they need God's grace, and they need God's help. And our temptation, Kevin, I think so often is to reduce the law of God and the expectations of God to what is capable without grace.
Mm-hmm.
And parents often get confused about this. My child's not a Christian. How can he love his brother or sister from the heart? So just be nice. Well, when we do that, we move our kids away from their need of grace. Really, it's what we need to be talking about is God calls us to love our brother and sister from the heart. Now, that'll get you to the problem. The problem we all have is that we can't do that apart from grace.
Mm.
But that shows how profoundly we need the grace of the gospel.
Amen. I actually hold that view of the entire Ten Commandments.
Absolutely.
That it is there to show us, you know, ultimately that we're accountable to God and we should do what they tell us to do, what they command us to do. But very quickly, we realize, too, that this is the only standard that God will accept, is this perfect standard. But we realize very quickly that we're unable to do that.
Right.
And so it drives us to the Lord Jesus Christ,
because
in him we find the perfect keeping of that law. And then by trusting in him, we find the ability to do these things ourselves.
Exactly right. And that's the gospel, isn't it?
It is.
I remember one time our daughter was whimpering, and we had put the kids to bed, and we could hear her crying. I went up and said, "Honey, what's the matter?" She said, "Daddy, you and Mommy tell me I'm supposed to love my brothers and be nice to them, and it's so hard to do. They're so mean to me. I can't do it. I just can't do it." Well, that was a wonderful opportunity to say to her, "Honey, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it." And that's why Christ came.
Mm-hmm.
Christ came to forgive us for our failure. Christ came to fulfill the law where we cannot fulfill it, but he also came to empower us and to put his spirit in us, to take out our stony heart, and give us a heart of flesh. You know, so if you talk to your kids about the heart, you are always having an opportunity to open up the gospel for them.
Mm-hmm. Margie, a lot of parents listening may be saying, you know, but that's so much more difficult. It sounds like you're talking about something that's going to, it's going to require a constant effort on our behalf. It's, it's just going to be difficult to do that rather than just giving some laws that we demand that they adhere to and not spend the time focusing on the heart. That would be a mistake to think that, and it would be ignoring the tremendous benefits that we're talking about. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree, and I would say to that that. If we're doing formative instruction, if we're using not only the formal times of instruction in our homes, but all of the informal times of instruction, not perfectly, we're never going to do it perfectly,
sure,
But if we use those opportunities to bring powerfully to our children God's graciousness, his love for his children, the forgiveness that he extends to us in our failure, the enablement of our Savior, the one who says, I won't tempt you beyond what you're able to bear, but with the temptation, I provide a way of escape. And showing them constantly in those contexts who God is and what he has provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, how Christ is our high priest who lived perfectly and is at the right hand of God making intercession for us, and that wonderful way out is described in Hebrews 4, verse 16, that we may boldly approach the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. If that's the tenor of our life before our children, then we don't have to spend huge time, amounts of time, during those occasions of correction and discipline. Mm-hmm. They've already heard the message. We just need to remind them of it.
That's an excellent point. You know, the modeling what we actually believe and demonstrating it in our daily life. I've been teaching through the book of James, which is all about this subject, you know, not only a faith declared, but a faith demonstrated mm-hmm. in the life of the believers. And I love what you're saying there, that if we do this, if we actually demonstrate these things, it will be, it will certainly back up what we're saying.
It will, and I believe that the opposite, the scripture yes. says that there is a form of godliness that denies its power.
Yes.
There is nothing that will turn our children away from Christian faith more powerfully and influence them more to walk away. You described the book that a little bit earlier. There's nothing that will do that more powerfully than seeing us have this huge dichotomy in our lives where we live as if nothing we say we believe is true,
mm-hmm.
but yet we have this spiritual part of our lives in which we praise God and honor mm-hmm. God.
You know, Ken Ham actually made this statement on the program, and I zeroed in on it, but he said that if we were unwilling to teach the gospel in the right way, teach it in a way that we tell people why we believe what we believe and model it in our life, that's the right way that he was holding up, that if we were unwilling to do that in our Sunday school lessons, it may be more profitable not to have them go to the church for the Sunday school lesson, because he was saying basically that they have a built-in hypocrisy detector
mm-hmm.
and they learn how to just mouth the right terms and to speak the language. They learn how to be good little Pharisees.
That's right.
And we certainly don't want to be instructing them in anything along that line.
That's right.
And, you know, Kevin, that very issue is one of the issues that is so important with getting to the heart. You know, I talk to parents all the time who say, well, I feel like I'm just raising little hypocrites in my house. Well, what that tells me when I'm talking to a parent is I'm talking to a parent who is focused on external behavior. Because if you deal with the heart, we all know that we struggle all the time with pride, self-love, self-service, envy, covetousness, rebellion, anger. There are all these attitudes of heart that are deeply seated within and are pushing and pulling our behavior. And they're the reasons for the behavior that is aberrant behavior. So if we deal with the heart, we get our kids beyond that, superficial, you know, I'm being a good little boy, Daddy, to really understanding, you know, how profoundly we are in need of grace because we have failed to do the things God's called us to do.
The law is such an amazing thing because the law has this wonderful role. It is to be a schoolmaster to lead to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But the law our children can resist. Grace is irresistible. It's the gospel of grace that's irresistible, not the law. And when I always tell parents that if you're going to display the law on the walls of your home or your classroom in mm-hmm. church or in Christian school, you need to have grace displayed just as powerfully
mm-hmm.
because the law without grace is devastating.
Amen, amen. We see that throughout the scriptures. In fact, that is the gospel itself, you know, that we're describing here. It could be found in almost any portion of the scripture that we would turn to at all. And so why shouldn't this be the methodology that is used in her home? I don't know how we got away from this.
Mm.
We got into this mode of controlling or manipulating our children's behavior, and we've steered so far away that now we're, you know, we become these domineering parents. Sometimes I see some that are even, I would categorize as hostile in their approach. And we have to be careful about this. But if we go back to the gospel, that's the key. Is that what I hear you saying?
Amen.
Excellent. Well, that music means we've got to go take our final break for today. Let me tell our listeners, again, you're certainly welcome to participate. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. I've got copies of the book, Instructing a Child's Heart by Ted and Margie Tripp. We'll give you one for your comment or question today during the broadcast. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Four good reasons why people tune in here to a station they can believe in.
I think it's the tool that the Lord uses for reaching people that the unsaved, you know, that lost.
Christian radio is just so important because those influences make us the people that we are.
It's uplifting, and it just is a reminder, a daily reminder, that God is there and that even if things are going bad, He's in control.
This is Christian Talk 660.
Dale Taggett, creator of the Truth Project, is coming to the Upstate on August 27th for a one-night event. Hi, this is Tony Beam for the Palmetto Family Council, reminding you that seating is limited and you don't want to miss this challenge to live biblically in today's culture. The August 27th event will encourage you and equip you to engage your culture. Remember, Dale Taggett of the Truth Project will be live in the Upstate on August 27th. For ticket information, go to www.truthproject-sc.com.
More and more, people are deciding to secure their family's safety by applying for a South Carolina concealed weapons permit. Dry Fire's class includes the NRA basic pistol course and state training requirements for a concealed carry permit. The class includes instruction from NRA certified instructors, info on South Carolina gun laws, the written exam, and qualifying with a firearm on the outdoor range. Register for South Carolina's concealed weapons permit class by calling 608-1522 or log on to dry-fire.com.
There's good subs, and then there's great subs. Hi, I'm Isaac Feinman, here to tell you about Firehouse Subs and Taylors on Wade Hampton Boulevard. How about that hook and ladder sub, huh? Smoked turkey breast or Jenny Honey Ham, smothered with Monterey Jack cheese and fully involved. You make it a combo, just add chips and a drink, and how about a freshly baked cookie or a warm brownie? You'll enjoy it. It's a great sub at Firehouse Subs and Taylors.
Keep it here. You're locked into Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. That means we're down to about 10 minutes or so remaining in the broadcast. Again, the number, if you'd like to call in and ask your question or give your comment about our subject today, you're certainly welcome to. That's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Be happy to take your call. Folks, just before the break, I mentioned that you had three segments here in the book, all dealing with some aspect of the idea of formative instruction, instruction that forms our children. And we've dealt with a couple of the issues that are under the subheadings under each one of the first two segments. I thought in the closing segment of the broadcast here that we would be able to look at the idea of corrective discipline. You point specifically to applying the principle of sowing and reaping that we find in the scripture. Let's talk about that for a minute and why you specifically zero in on that principle related to discipline.
The reason we use the sowing and reaping principle, obviously, first is because it's what is taught in the Word of God. Secondly, I believe because we live in a culture where this whole principle is not understood. In fact, generally, unapologetically, people blame others for the problems that they've brought on themselves. And so children will say, you won't believe what my parents are doing to me now or what my teacher is making me do now. And I always say, dear, you haven't understood. Your parents or your teacher may shape the consequences that you that come to you as a result of the choices you've made. But these are the choices you've made, and whatever transpires here is a result of the choices you've made. It's not what someone is doing to you. That's not understood in our culture. But an even bigger issue that we want to get to parents is that as parents, we haven't understood the sowing and reaping of God's word. We have become so accustomed to thinking in terms of consequences and punishments, rewards and punishments for children, that we haven't understood that God always is referencing in sowing and reaping. He's always referencing very important spiritual reaping that is a result both positively and negatively of the choices that we make. And so we want to get to our children with this fact. Before you ever experience a natural consequence from what you have done or not done, or before I shape a consequence for you, you're already reaping. You're reaping in five ways that are undeniable in the world that God has made. We reap in relationship with God. We reap in habits for life. We reap in terms of relationship. We reap in terms of reputation, and we reap in terms of long-term usefulness in Christ's kingdom and even for eternity. So we spend a lot of time in this application section trying to give parents a vision for that and even ways to come to their children with that truth.
That's excellent. That is well put, and I love the idea that they're already reaping some of these consequences, and that we need to focus on reaping these benefits that we have in Christ. The scripture talks about, you know, sowing to the, not sowing to the flesh, but sowing to the spirit, you know.
So, reaping life.
Exactly, and godliness and all of the benefits with it. You know, we hear so much today about felt needs, and certainly the Bible does have benefits that we, you know, will address some of these felt needs that we have, but the Bible, first and foremost, addresses the greatest need that we have, and that is for a relationship with our God, that our sins is separated between us and our God. And secondly, that the felt needs that so many people are leading with which I think is a problem, are actually the benefits of the gospel that we enjoy. And so we not only do we, you know, rule with a firm, you know, consistent instruction to our children, but we must be telling them there is great benefit in listening to what we have to say. In Him are hid all the treasures of godliness. You know, all the treasures of God are hid in Christ, and so we've got to really emphasize that with our children.
Well, there's a wonderful benefit of interacting with children regarding their heart and bringing formative instruction to them, is that that establishes the not only the authority but the wisdom and nurturing role of fathers and mothers. We earn the right to speak whenever we interact with our children on these very deep levels. That is not known or understood in the majority culture. The greatest communication that parents have with their children in the majority culture has to do with material things.
That's true. You know, just that this is where you find all of your joy. In fact, you guys have a section here in the book where you are teaching children, giving them a vision for the glory of God and finding their joy in Christ and in the things of God.
Yeah, and that's one of the, that's, you know, as you said a moment ago, that's sowing and reaping too.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are endless joys and delights that are found in knowing God and trusting God and loving God. I think one of the things that Margie emphasizes, these chapters on sowing and reaping are her chapters in the book, some of her chapters, not all of them, but they are, that's her, part of what she contributed to the book particularly. And one of the things that Margie has identified, I think, is such a good point, too, is that when we shape consequences for our children, we're not doing it to manipulate their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it to underscore the importance of God's truth.
Mm.
That's what God does. God doesn't, he always brings chastisement for the purpose of making his people holy.
Mm-hmm. You can even see that, you know, in the miracles that were wrought. I think some people feel that the miracles were just there kind of putting on the Ritz or something. But there's lessons in everything that was done by Christ. There's a lesson there. When he spoke to the Pharisees and rebuked them, there's a lesson there for us.
Mm.
And in all of his discourses and all of his miracles and everything that was done, and so we should have that same mindset that everything that we do, that there is a lesson here for our children, which you guys bring out so great in this book.
Amen.
I just really enjoy it. Folks, I wanted to ask you here in some of the closing segments of this, just maybe your final thoughts on, you know, why people, why would you say this would be so important for people to get a copy of this book? And I wanted to ask you, too, do you guys have grandchildren?
We do.
We have nine.
We have nine grandchildren.
Wow. Does
and
it, does,
we are the envy of all grandparents because all of our grandchildren live within 5 miles of us. So we're very blessed. We spend a lot of Sunday afternoons together, and it's a very great joy.
Definitely.
I had the joy just yesterday of doing doing a Bible study with my two oldest granddaughters on the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm.
And what a joy it is to have that opportunity.
In fact, joy was the fruit. Right?
That's right.
Amen. I have two grandchildren. Myself, and I always say that they refer to me as Poppy, so it's Poppy Squared. And so, does this type of things that you have written here, how as grandparents do you use these principles?
We want to use these truths to encourage our grandchildren to heed the training and instruction of their parents. We want always to be bringing the same message that the parents are bringing, not to take their place, but
mm-hmm.
simply to enhance and beautify in every way that we can
mm-hmm.
all of the things that Scripture brings to us. Your question earlier was, why are these things so important? I believe they are increasingly important in a culture that has and is turning away from God, and there is just no vestige of Christian principle or ethic left in our culture. And as parents, if we don't take these things seriously, we have only begun to see the exit from the church of all of our children and young people.
Mm.
Yeah, really, I think, Kevin, you know, you mentioned the book by Ken Ham and the researcher that was working with him about They've Already Gone.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, you know, Instructing a Child's Heart is really a book about how to prevent that.
Yes.
By taking the time to unpack for your kids the beauty and symmetry and wonder of life in the way that God has designed us to live as creatures made in his image and made for his glory. And winsomely presenting that to our children so that they see it as something that is attractive and beautiful. And what happens, you know, when we just focus on behavior, we end up scolding our kids. You know, we're always scolding. Don't do that. Stop that. Come over here. You know, why are you doing that? I told you not to do that. And that becomes the kind of communication we're getting from our kids are getting from us, rather than us really spending time helping them to see the goodness of God, the wonder of God's ways, the beauty of the gospel, the power of grace to work inside us and transform us and make us new. And it's such an optimistic and positive and encouraging perspective to be setting forth for kids to really adorn the gospel, to make the gospel attractive to our children.
Amen. That's an excellent statement to close out the broadcast with today. I think that is extremely well put, and there's what the goal is. There's what the purpose is that we're looking for. Ted and Margie, if you'd hang on the line there till we just close out, I've got a question I want to ask you offline. But also I want to thank you for taking the time out to be with us on the program today, and thank you even more for writing this book. I pray that God will bless it to the young couples and families in our listening audience and throughout the country as well.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
We enjoyed being with you. you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I want to tell our listeners again, if you go out to Shepherd Press, that's www.shepherdpress.com. I'm on it right now, and right on the top of the page, it says that there's a special offer here from Knowing the Truth, and so you can go out there 50% off for this one day, just for today. You got to go out there, take advantage of this. I'm sure you know a young couple, a grandparent, somebody who could use this book. Don't miss this opportunity. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.